bangthebook.com.
Hello once again, everybody, and thank you for joining me here on this Wednesday, December 6th edition of Bang the Book Radio. My name is Adam Burke, your host for the next hour or so. As we go over all kinds of things in the world of sports from a betting focus. Happy to be with me for this hump day edition of the show. Two guests join me. The first, Brian Leonard from WagerTalk.com. The second, Wes Reynolds, who you know from Twitter, at Wes Reynolds and the number one. I think we've had two really outstanding shows here so far this week, and I think that we're going to add to that here with today's program. Before we get into things with today's first guests, over at bangthebook.com, tons of great content available for you over there. My college football power ratings and lines for all the bowl games are up over there. We'll have NFL power ratings coming later on in the week. Great situational betting articles for college basketball, the NBA, the NHL. Parker Michaels' daily NHL picks have been going fantastic here. Very good following with those on Twitter. Lots of compliments from the influential guys out there in the NHL betting market. And also, he's been on a nice run. So make sure that you're checking those out every day over at the website. Check out our sportsbook reviews, our matchup data section. There's so much stuff over there. We are your one-stop shop for sports betting news and information. Finally, this and every edition of Bang the Book Radio, presented by our friends over at DSI Sportsbook. They got a nice gift for you here during this holiday season. If you use the promo code BTB and the number 25, you get a $25 free bet just for signing up. 100% deposit match bonus for the sportsbook. 100% deposit match bonus for the live casino as well. At BetDSI, it's only a game until you bet it. Two guests coming your way here on today's program. The first, Mr. Brian Leonard from WagerTalk.com. Brian, how's it going today, man?
Going terrific. It's good to be back on the show.
Well, good to have you here on the show today. And lots of things for us to discuss. And I know I mentioned talking about bowl season. Obviously, we're going to do that. But let's go ahead and talk about this Army-Navy game. Only game in town here on Saturday this week. Navy now a 3-point favorite. Total's been dropping. That's not really a big surprise. It seems like year after year, this total is set too high. Money hammers the under. And the last, I think it's the last 10 games, 9 or 10 games in this head-to-head rivalry have gone under the total. So, Brian, any strong opinions from you on this game?
Well, normally I like to play Navy because they're the better team. But as we've talked in the past, this has been a strange season for Navy. They turn the ball over too much. They've only had 3 games all season in which they let at the half they had the turnover advantage. Army, on the other side, has only had 1 game in which they didn't have an even or turnover advantage, and that was against Temple. They were down 1 at the half, and I think that's a telling stat here. Because you got 2 teams that basically play the same type of offense, and obviously, you know, I think the under is cashed every year, and that's something to keep in mind when teams play the exact same offense as what they see in practice every day. You want to take a look at the under, but that's moved down a little bit, 5 points or something, so there's not as much value there. But I don't think Navy's nearly as strong this year as they have been in the past. And, you know, they've always been, seems to be a double-digit favorite when they play Army in these games. So I'm not involved in this game at all, but I think that we've got a live dog here in Army. And Army's one of those teams that they don't win this very often. It's usually Navy, and Air Force has had some really good teams in the past. So obviously both teams want to win this thing, but, you know, it's Army's had that extra week to prepare. They haven't played since the 18th. Navy had to play Houston on the 24th, and we were on Houston in that game. It worked out for us. But, yeah, a little extra time to prepare for Army. And obviously, bigger motivation for Army. And they just take care of football better than Navy does. And so I think they're a live dog. I'm probably not going to get involved. I've got too many other things going on a daily basis with all the other sports going on. But if I had to have a lean, that would be the side I'd look at.
Yeah, as a side I was looking at, too. And I'm actually a little bit disappointed in myself that there were some 3.5s early in the week. My number is Navy -1 here. So I do think Navy still deserves to be favored in this spot. But like you said, this is not the same Navy team we've seen in past years. Also not the same Army team. And we talked about this on Monday's show with Kyle Hunter. Army's playing its best football in about 30 years here. The last time they had, you know, a run of success like this with a couple of 8-win seasons back in the mid-80s. So, you know, this is an Army program that is on the rise. And, you know, like you said, because they've lost this game so many times and last year, you know, won it for the first time in a very long time, you know, this is a team that this is the game that they circle. And the fact that they've been able to win 8 games already prior to this game, you know, certainly does make them a live dog here. And I'm hoping I get a 3.5 back, look to play this one. But again, the sentiments that I echoed on Monday, even if you don't have action on this game, and it is a fairly tight line with a total that's lost line value, so maybe it's not the greatest of games to have action on, still watch it, because this is the great American rivalry. This is a game that should stand alone the way that it does, and it's one that, you know, I enjoy watching every year. Maybe it's not the best football with the triple option and, you know, the slow, long plotting drives, but still, this is a game where there's a lot of passion, a lot of intensity on the line, and it's always good to support our servicemen and women.
Yeah, I turned to the wife this week and I said, we finally have a Saturday off, you know, because she watches all the games with me. She's a big fan of Clemson and Ohio State. And we spend the entire day, which is great for me, because how many guys have their wife want to sit there and watch college football with them from the whole day? And she does. She sits there with me all day long. She just loves college football. And I said, well, we got Saturday off. What do you want to do? And she says, well, isn't it the Army-Navy game? So even my wife is excited about this game. So it's nice. And you're right. It's probably the most boring football game you're going to see all year. But you want to support the troops, and especially with some of the things that have gone on in this country over the last couple of years, we need the police, we need the troops, and it's a great spotlight for our entire country.
All right, let's transition to the bowl season here, which starts December 16th. So we've got now, what is that, 10 days? 10, 11 days? I don't know, whatever. The days just run together at this point here. But you know, we got a good amount of time here before we actually get these games kicking off on December 16th, then a couple days off, game on December 19th, one on the 20th, one on the 21st. Then we start to get some more games as we get deeper into the bowl season here. And I know that you've got a very different approach to the bowl season than what some people have. And I know you kind of got the idea here this morning that you and I could sort of compare and contrast our bowl strategies. So I'll let you have the floor first, sir. How do you handle the bowl season?
Yeah, bowls are totally different for me than anything else. I'm one of those guys, and we've talked about it, when as soon as they open the lines, I go out and play the games of the year before the season starts. I've had a lot of success doing that. I feel that my information overall is better than most, and so I'm able to go out there. And you're basically going one-on-one with the linesmaker early in the season. So I do a lot of that. I'm also one of those guys that when the lines come out, you know, Sunday night or whatever, Monday morning, I'm one of the first guys, if I've got to play, I'm getting that in. So basically by Wednesday, I've got pretty much my entire card planned out, except for looking at certain numbers. I think, yeah, I could get a 7 somewhere else. Why should I play at a 5.5 now? Let me wait and see if I can get a 7, one of those type of deals. The bowl season to me is totally different, because during the regular season, both teams come out, you know they're going to give their best. And the bowl season is totally different. And a lot of guys work off their power ratings. I don't really pay much attention to my power ratings for bowl season, because you're not getting both teams with the same objective, and that's to come to the game. It's all business. Let's get this thing done. Let's win this. And it's totally different for the bowls. A lot of guys worry about getting the early number, and they'll, you know, during the week they'll say, well, I can't play this because now it's -3.5 and I could have gotten a -1.5. Well, in the bowl season, I'm not as worried about that, so I don't jump in early on any of these bowl numbers, because there's been many times I've had a great number going into the bowls, and as I read, as the bowl season comes along, this guy's left the coaching staff, this guy's taking these assistants with him. The players aren't that excited about going to this. Been there before. They wanted to go to this bowl. Then they didn't get to go there. They're going to this one. They played this team already. The other team has already played in this spot, in this location. And also, there's so many variables on motivation and seat. Who wants to be here? What are these teams doing ahead of time? It's too much can happen. How many times have we seen a team and then all of a sudden – they suspend 4 or 5 guys, and it's just too many things out there that can happen because the game isn't being played the next week. I only worry about it the day before or the day of the game. I read as much as I can, and then that's when I'll make a play. I'm not going to put a play on for other than maybe the Final Four, because you know everybody in the Final Four is in it to win it. Those teams right now, you should have a pretty good idea on what you want to play. You know what they're going for. But when you see a team, you know, these other teams playing, and How do you know the motivation? How do you know who wants to be there? It's too hard to just look at your power ratings and say Team A should be 4 points better without knowing that Team A is the team that wants to play this game and Team B has nothing to play for, that kind of thing. So I don't get involved in these early. So I don't really talk about them early because so many things change. So I prefer at this time of year to basically sit back and watch the line movements on these things and chart how it goes. And you'd be amazed at how many times when you're charting these bowl games, the lines move in the wrong direction. And so I like to chart where the opener was and the midway point, where it is now, and see what I have read. Does that make sense to the line movement? Did the line move the way all of my information said it did, said it should? And if it doesn't, I go against the line movement, especially when I can go back and look at those power ratings again and say, okay, well, my numbers say this, even though I'm not giving them nearly as much recognition. But my numbers say that this is the better team and the other team has been taking the money. But yet I'm not seeing that this other team has more motivation to be here and I can get myself a better line come game day.
You know, I talk about my power ratings piece each week over at bangthebook.com, and I have about an 1,800-word monologue of an intro here before I actually give out my 1 through 130, and then I also, as I mentioned, posted all my raw power rating numbers for the Bulls. And I talked about a lot of these different concepts, and not just with regards to the bowl season, but also with regards to the season as a whole. You know, how many times this year did we see people go out there, hit the opening numbers, want to get that line value, and then we see a dramatic line move on game day where that number winds up not even really meaning a whole lot. It may even be, you know, not the best of the number. It kind of used to be a few years ago where people would hit that early number. If it was, let's say the early number was -3, that game's going to close -5, -6 on game day, and that was that. This year, it feels like everything's been completely different because the significance of the game day moves has just been so much higher than it has been in years past. So that is something I think that probably carries over into the bowl season as well. And, you know, I put together my power rating lines. I've got my raw numbers that are out there. And again, you can see those if you're interested. But there are a few challenging elements here. One of them for me is that, you know, over the last, 8 weeks or so, 8-9 weeks, you've largely been adjusting these teams in your power ratings based on playing conference opponents. You're not playing conference opponents anymore. And there are gaps between these conferences. So that is something, as I'm kind of going through and looking at my raw power ratings, that I kind of noticed is that, you know, I do have a little bit of conference bias built into my numbers. And that's going to show through when I make my raw power rating line. So, you know, it's probably not the best thing in the world to go out there and hit these bowl games based on your power ratings. And I trust the guys that do it. I understand why those people are doing it. And, you know, I've seen several of them on Twitter, and they've been moves where my lines generally tend to agree. But also, like you said, you open yourself up to a higher risk profile because players get suspended, players get injured. The latest trend now, of course, is that you're going to have guys go to the NFL draft that are going to sit out of these bowl games. And you know, I can't blame them for that. But those are things that are going to, you know, force adjustments to the lines that, you know, you may be caught behind a little bit because you played an opener.
Yeah, and another thing is right now, after the openers are settled pretty much the way they are now, you're playing against the wise guys as opposed to playing against the general public. And what I'll talk about that is most guys want to watch every game they play and they want to have some action on it. So if a guy is looking to play a game in one of these bowls, he's not going to tie up his money on, let's say, the Final Four at this point. He's going to save his money for these games coming up. You know, this week, I believe the 16th? 16th is the first bowl game. So he is going to be betting the games on the 16th. And he's usually not going to do that until the week of the 16th, or probably closer to the day of the game. So you're fighting right now on numbers with other guys who have the big bankrolls, who get out ahead on this and do this for a living, as opposed to waiting until game day and you've got, I don't want to discount the general public, but a lot of guys just bet every game they want to watch, and the pros don't do that. So you're going to get a lot of that unsophisticated money coming in the day of the game and the day before the game, and that's where a guy who does this for a living could take advantage of. I would rather go up against those kind of people than I would going up against the guys that do the same thing as I do. And it's sort of like when you're looking at the poker out here, and you've got a couple times a year where you've got, you know, the rodeo or whatever comes to town. And every guy I know who bets poker goes out, puts on a cowboy hat and cowboy boots, and goes and plays poker against these guys, because these guys in Vegas play constantly. They're the guys you're facing, these guys against a table that you know or is a skill level like yours. But when it comes to these guys coming in with all this oil money and they're big rodeo fans, they're the supposed suckers, and those are the times where you make your money and you play against them. And there's guys that will play as many hours as they can when the rodeo's here, because that's where they make the majority of the profit. So you want to go against the people with lesser information, let's just put it that way. And right now, those people aren't entering this market.
Yeah, I think that you're on the right track there with what you're talking about, and I think that's a really good real-world example there. On December 20th, when Louisiana Tech plays SMU, everyone's going to be an expert on both of those teams. A lot of people out there that are going to be betting on that game haven't played on either one of those teams here throughout the season. The next day, Temple and FIU, same thing. Everyone's going to be an expert on Temple. Everyone's going to be an expert on FIU. So you're going to have a lot of that money that is out there that, you know, the sports books maybe don't have to respect necessarily, but they still have to take it into consideration. You know, and a lot of times it's going to be a lot of favorite money. And that was actually a trend that Kyle Hunter sent over to me, and I'm going to try to pull it up here as I'm looking. But you run into a situation here where the really undervalued teams are the ones that you want to go with in the bowl season. It's something about teams receiving less than 40% of the tickets have a very, very good against the spread rate, because no one wants to back them. Nobody knows anything about those teams. And oftentimes, you know, you talk about motivation, and that'll be a buzzword here on the shows as we go throughout. Those are the teams that are motivated. The teams that nobody expects to do anything in the bowl season are the ones that are going to come forth with the best efforts. So that's something I think that our listeners really do need to keep in mind, really do need to consider, is that, you know, these teams that are quote unquote untouchable, or these teams that, you know, barely snuck in at 6-6 and they're playing some team that went 8-4 or 9-3, you know, those may be the teams that you want to look at, because yeah, they're not as good, but they're going to pay more attention in the prep period. They're going to focus more. They're going to be happy to be there. You know, talent may win out ultimately, so maybe you want to look at those teams in the first half. But there are just so many different angles present in the bowl season that aren't there in the regular season, and I think that's the most important takeaway here.
Yeah, if you're a Big Ten team and you went 8-4 and you're playing a 6-6 team from a lesser conference, are you really going to go in there expecting them to beat you? Of course not. You're coming from the better school, better league, and you're not excited to be there. Where the other team, who's 6-6 from Conference USA or something to that effect, they're excited to go to the bowl. They didn't. It wasn't a sure thing that they were going to a bowl all season. They've accomplished something, where the other teams had bigger goals, and you find that a lot during bowl season. You know, it's a bad example this year because of Florida State losing the coach and everything that's happened there. But normally, Florida State would be a team. They were ranked like number three first week of the season, and then they lose to Alabama and everything crashed. They would be a team that I would want to go against. But now that everybody's leaving them, and now they got a new coach coming in, they want to show the new coach what they can do, and it's a little bit different motivation. But you know, you've got, look at Notre Dame. Notre Dame is one of those teams, right? At one point, they were talking about them being in the Final Four, and they crashed as the season went on. Is Notre Dame really going to be excited to play in this bowl game? There are a lot of things like that you have to take a look at. And, you know, you think that that's going to happen, but as you read, maybe there's a reason why these kids want to play in this bowl game, and they want to get this win. And, you know, maybe it's just one of those things where no senior has ever, you know, won this many games, and so they're going to do it for the seniors. Just little things you can read upon and find out what's coming out of the locker room. But yeah, there's just so many variables in this that I don't like to tie up my money ahead of time, because by the time I get to the actual day of the game, half of the games that I've already bet I don't like anymore. And it's just something that the way I do it, I don't like to do it that way.
Yeah, I think that you had a prime example last year, and I don't really see any examples like this this season. But when Mississippi State played Miami of Ohio in the St. Petersburg Bowl, Mississippi State had no interest in playing that game, and it was very, very clear. I mean, they were still a two-touchdown favorite, I think it was, in that game. They came nowhere close to covering and almost lost the game outright. We don't really have a situation like that this year, but you do see those, you know, pop up where you've got a team that plays an SEC schedule playing a MAC team that went 6-6 just to get to a bowl game, started 0-6, no less. You know, and that's just not a game that Mississippi State is up for. So, you know, you do get those games from time to time. Like I said, I don't see too many of them here on this year's card, but you know, you do still have examples like Arizona State in the Sun Bowl with a lame duck head coach and Todd Graham. They went to Herm Edwards, which makes no sense to me whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But Todd Graham's coaching this team through the bowl game, and they're not going to be that invested. That's why you get North Carolina State favored by 6, 6.5 out there in the market, even though they're making the longer trip out to El Paso, because NC State's going to want to go to this bowl game. They've got a very good coach there in Dave Doran who's going to keep them motivated. Even if Bradley Chubb doesn't play, and he probably won't, and he probably shouldn't, you know, NC State still has those motivational angles because Arizona State's got nothing to play for here. So, you know, those are some of those spots that you want to look to isolate. I know there was one last year. It was – maybe it was 2 years ago. It was the Hawaii Bowl. One of the teams, you know, was going to be very, very excited to be there, and the other one was – or it was Cincinnati against somebody, right? And Cincinnati never goes to Hawaii. They're playing a Mountain West team that goes to Hawaii every other year, and Cincinnati just got obliterated. I think it was 42-3 or something like that. So you get that sometimes. You know, you look at the Hawaii Bowl, and you know, is it a team that wants to be there? Is it a team that goes to Hawaii every year? Is this – you know, nothing special for them. This year it's Fresno State and Houston. Well, how many of these Houston players are going to go to Hawaii? Fresno State goes to Hawaii every other year when they play the Rainbow Warriors. So, again, those are all the angles that you want to look for out there in the marketplace, and you can't really get that from power ratings.
Yeah, you mentioned the one I was going to talk about was the Fresno State. This is a team who was a terrible team last year, weren't expected to be good this year, and they just rode that all season long, and they end up not winning against Boise. But they're going to be excited to be here, even though they've been to Hawaii before. I think it's going to be a benefit because they've been there before. They've seen this. They've seen the island. They're going to come. At least my feeling is, and I'll have to read up on it. But they're going to come with a purpose here. Where you got Houston, who has been really good in the past. They were okay this year. But they get a rare chance to play on the island. So who's going to be more focused here? From my thought process, it's going to be Fresno. But we're going to have to read a little bit more on it. But, you know, you're getting Fresno, the team that I think has more focus, and you're getting them as a dog right now. So we will see what happens. But, yeah, it's going to – for example, last year? One of the MAC teams, I think it was Central Michigan or Eastern Michigan, or got a chance to play in the Bahamas. And these guys, they showed the film of these guys when it was announced they were going to the Bahamas instead of maybe Detroit, and they were going nuts. And they were so excited to be able to leave. I mean, a lot of people in this country live in areas where they've got the great weather all the time. We're both from Cleveland. And to get out of Cleveland in the middle of winter and go to the Bahamas, can you believe – I'm just excited thinking about it right now, and I live in Vegas, and it's – just think about if you live up in the Midwest like that. So so much excitement for some of these teams. They really want to be there. Others don't, and you just got to read on that and make sure that your assessment is the same as what's going to happen.
Yeah, and speaking of a team that's in a cold-weather environment going to play in a cold-weather environment, Central Michigan and Wyoming is a really interesting game that I kind of keyed in on. You've got the altitude advantage for Wyoming, who's used to playing in it. And for Central Michigan, are you really that excited to go from Mount Pleasant, Michigan to Boise, Idaho in the middle of December? Not really. So that's a game that I kind of have circled right now, and I haven't done anything with it yet. But, you know, we have seen a little bit of Wyoming investment there, pick them to -1. But again, that's one of those spots where, you know, maybe from a power rating standpoint, this game is a pick 'em, or maybe Central's favorite in your particular set of power ratings. But when you look at the spot, when you look at the location of the bowl game, when you consider some of these other factors, you know, even though Central Michigan should be excited to go, John Bonamigo, we've talked about him on these segments throughout the season with, you know, him sleeping with the trophy after beating Western Michigan and getting that Michigan MAC trophy and all that. he's a very excitable guy. He's had this program going in the right direction, but there are factors against them here in this spot. And again, those are the things that you want to look to try and isolate in the college football bowl season. Brian, let's transition over to the NFL here for a few minutes, talk about a few of those games. Let's start Thursday night. New Orleans takes on Atlanta. Atlanta opens 2-point chalk at the Chris Books. Now New Orleans 2-point chalk on the road. Short week road favorite with a flipped favorite. Everything in my mind is telling me take Atlanta. Based on everything we know about the NFL, everything we've seen over the last decade, take Atlanta. This year, though, everything we thought we knew about the NFL has been wrong. So I'm really hesitant and basically gun-shy in this spot.
Yeah, this is funny because when you look at it, you're thinking, well, New Orleans, they've just been so dominant. They've actually played well on the road this year. Last week, Atlanta had that game they had to have against Minnesota, and they lose it. But it's interesting because the last 4 years, these two teams are divisional rivals, so they play each other two times. The team that won the first game won the second game. And we're sitting here in, what, week 12 or 13 or something to that effect? They haven't played yet. This will be the first time that these two teams will play. They play now, and then they play on December 24th, Christmas Eve. So it's really strange that they would schedule the two divisional rivals to play twice in a three-week span here this late in the season, which is the first thing I noticed about it. But when you take a look at the NFL, you're usually in pretty good shape if you can recognize who's the team that needs the game more. We saw that on Monday Night Football. Pittsburgh going into Cincinnati. Pittsburgh dominates Cincinnati. Cincinnati sitting at 5-6. That was their season right there playing Pittsburgh. You could see it by all the dirty play in that game. All the penalties in that game. That was an all-in game for the Cincinnati Bengals. They don't win it, but they usually get that cover from wire to wire. This is another situation with Atlanta here. You've got a New Orleans team that has already swept Carolina, the second-place team in that division. So they've got the advantage on that. So not only are they up a game on Carolina, they also have a tiebreaker. Now they're playing Atlanta. Now, if they win this game over Atlanta, basically – New Orleans has got to coast through the rest of the season. They're going to win the division, and all they have to worry about is trying to play for the bye and better seeding process. But this is an Atlanta team. If they lose this game, their season's basically over. They need to win this game, and it's their third straight home game. They play Tampa, Minnesota, and New Orleans here on a Thursday, whereas New Orleans is playing their second road game here in, I believe, three weeks. But you've got, as you pointed out, a Thursday game. And granted, the NFL has done the better thing this year of putting divisional rivals up on these Thursday's games because the teams know a little bit more about them. But even though it's a Thursday game and it's a travel situation for New Orleans, it's not a huge travel to go to Atlanta, but it's still a travel day, and you've got a team that played Sunday and now has to travel, go on the road to play Thursday. I always like to play the home teams on these Thursday night games because they get a little bit more practice time. There's not a lot of time to put in extra plays when you're playing on Sunday and you got to turn around and play Thursday. Most of the players in the NFL hate these Thursday games. But when you take a look at need here, Atlanta's the team with need. And right now with the current line, they're saying New Orleans, if you give Atlanta a 3-point home field, probably should be 3.5 if you're looking at a Thursday game. So you've got New Orleans here. So basically, New Orleans is listed at 5.5 points better on a neutral. I think that's pretty high. I think that's high. I was expecting it to be more of a pick 'em here, maybe 3 points better on a neutral, something like that. So to get Atlanta in this game, normally it would be a great teaser situation, but you've got a total of 53. So anytime you've got a higher total, your teasers lose a little bit of value. You'd love to play the ones that have a 41 total, like Minnesota. It's 2.5 at some places and 41 with Carolina. You know it's going to be a low-scoring game, so Carolina would be a nice teaser there if you can't get the 3. But I'd like Atlanta here. I just think the need from Atlanta, and Atlanta's still a good football team. I know a lot of the reason why New Orleans is taking the money is because Atlanta had those two defensive backs that were out last week, and New Orleans is a passing team. And I understand the matchups for New Orleans, but I also understand how the NFL works. And when you're playing 16 games in a season, you're not going to be up for every game. there's certain games that you're taking off. Well, this Atlantic game right now is the Cincinnati Bengals of Monday Night Football. Atlanta needs this game, and they're getting a plus points. I'm going to be on Atlanta for Thursday.
Do you need three for that to be a pick for premium clients, or is it something you'd still be comfortable throwing out at two?
I've already released it because I don't think it'll get to three. But personally, as I see the line continue to go, I have not bet it yet. But it's a game I'm going to have a piece of, but I'm waiting to see if maybe I can get to that three. And in reality, now that the extra points are pushed back a little bit, the three doesn't have as much value as it had in the past. But still, I would prefer anything over two. You know, right now it's a two at some of the key places. If I get 2.5, I'll be fine with 2.5. I have to take two. I'll take the two. It's a bet either way, but obviously any points you can get, the better it is. But I doubt if it gets to three. There'll be so many guys lining up to see the same thing as I do if it gets to three. And, you know, and if Atlanta doesn't get this game, they're a team that played in the Super Bowl last year. They may be a fade the rest of the season because they had high expectations coming in here. But we'll worry about that if they don't win this game.
Well, for those sorting their odds screen by rotation number here this week, you got game 111, 112 on the board, Seattle and Jacksonville, and you're probably surprised to see it say 425 next to the rotation order. But the Seahawks got very, very fortunate here in this spot because the NFL flexed this game to the 4 o'clock time slot. So Seattle doesn't have to play that 10 a.m. game coming out of a Sunday night football game. So what would have been a pretty compromising situational spot for them has gotten a little bit easier. Now, they still have to travel across country, obviously, and go out to Jacksonville, but it's a lot better to play at 425 and keep your normal routine, your normal schedule, than it is to play early on in the morning. I feel like that's a fairly significant driving force here behind this number, which has gone from 3.5 down to 2.5 at most shops now. The ones with three are still 3 dog 20. But it, you know, with this one pushing through the key number, I think this is a pretty strong stance early in the week from the wise guys.
It is, and I'm not sure I agree with it. You take a Seattle last 2 weeks, they play at San Francisco. Garoppolo plays his first game. Then last week against Philadelphia, there were so many reasons. It was the game we just spoke about with Atlanta, that was Seattle last week. Seattle had to have that game. That was a game that they had to prove to themselves and prove to everybody else that, you know, this NFC championship still goes through Seattle. And Philadelphia had such a big lead in that division. And with the schedule they have coming up, that was a walkthrough for Philadelphia, and it worked out well for Seattle. So I'm not giving Seattle the credit they deserve for those wins the last 2 weeks. And not too many people are going to give them a lot of credit for San Francisco anyway. But I kind of like Jacksonville here. I think Jacksonville's a little bit better team right now. I would give them a half a point to a point better. They're playing at home. They've been home. They were home last week against Indy. They're home again next week against Houston. You know, their big game is the end of the season against Tennessee, but that's still a few weeks away. But they get to play Houston and San Francisco the next 2 weeks after this. So this is the game they're pointing to. Seattle has the Rams next week, and then that's a huge game for them. Now, obviously, they need to win every game they can at this point, and they have Dallas on the schedule also. Which is looking good, but by that point, Elliott will be back, but it'll be a different Dallas team they play. But I just don't see it out of Seattle. The defense, they've got so many injuries on the defense. I know they've held the last two opponents to 10 and 13 points, which is terrific. But as I said, you know, San Francisco with the first game with the new quarterback and Philadelphia in a game that they really didn't care a whole lot about. I'm not buying into Seattle at this point. I think they still got too many problems defensively. They're not the same team as they have been in the past defensively. The coaching staff is terrific, and they're going to get whatever they can out of these players. But you got a Jacksonville team there that doesn't turn the ball over for the most part unless they're behind in the game. And, you know, luckily for Jacksonville, the way they've been playing with that running game, they don't fall behind in these games, which is good. You know, when they lost 2 weeks ago, at Arizona, 2 weeks ago, they lose that game 27-24. They were down 13-3 at the half and were forced to pass the ball a bit more. And if you go back, the games that they really haven't played well in the first half are the games they've struggled against the Chargers, 7-6 at the halftime. They had to go to overtime to win. Against the Rams, they're down by 10 at halftime. They lose the game by 10. So this isn't a team, you know, Tennessee earlier losing 6-3, and then Tennessee walloped them the second half. Jacksonville's not a team I want to be playing from behind. So it's important for Jacksonville to get out an early lead here, especially against this Seattle defense, even though they're not as good as they've been in the past. I cringe at the thought of Bortles throwing into Seattle's defense in a comfort behind mode. But still, I think I'm not a big Seattle believer, and I think 2.5 here is turned into a bargain for the Jaguars.
Well, and that's one of those things where maybe you can take a position pregame and then either do a live betting hedge or maybe come over the top a little bit if you've got a book that, you know, offers a high enough limit there in terms of live betting opportunities. Because if Jacksonville is down in the second half, then maybe you do look to make a Seattle play at that point with the angles that you considered. I actually like Seattle a little bit more in this spot, I think, because, you know, for one thing, you've got Russell Wilson, who's kind of the X factor in every game that he plays. Jacksonville is obviously Saxonville for a reason, but Seattle's offensive line, you know, they're not good. Everybody knows that. But at least Russell Wilson's mobile. At least Russell Wilson can avoid that rush, and he throws really well on the run too. So maybe that mitigates some of Jacksonville's strength there in terms of what they do from an aggressiveness standpoint on defense. You know, do they sit back, play a little more zone, spy Russell Wilson a little bit more? If they do that, they're cutting into one of their strengths. So I'm a little bit worried about that from the Jacksonville standpoint. Also, I think there's this kind of – it's a silent sentiment, but it feels to me like people are kind of waiting for Jacksonville to just fall apart here. You know, maybe they've shown some signs of it here a little bit lately. You know, Fournette has that 190-yard run. He's only got 3.5 yards per carry on his other 206-odd rushes or whatever it is. So this offense is very inefficient. And I think when you take on a Seattle defense – that wins with scheme, that wins with depth, I think the Seahawks are actually in a pretty decent spot here, and I agree with the line move, and who knows, maybe you and I will have a beer bet on this one when it's all said and done.
That sounds great, and one of the other things I look at is who's going to get the ball first, and I talked about how important it was for Jacksonville to get the lead here. Both teams, every time they've won the coin toss, they've deferred, so no edge there for anybody who's looking to bet the first quarter, first half, anything like that.
All right, one more game I want to hit on with you here, Brian. It's a real good one. Game 127-128, Philadelphia takes on the Los Angeles Rams. Now, I've been dealing with a refrigerator problem here this morning, not William Perry, but, you know, the actual appliance. And I'm not sure if there's been any talk about possibly moving this game or something like that with the wildfire that's going on out there. Obviously, we had some air quality issues in a Cal game earlier on this year. So far, I haven't heard anything to that effect about this game, but something for our listeners to consider here, and you may want to wait to get invested in this game as a result. But the Rams are up to a 2.5-point favorite. For Philadelphia, they stay out on the West Coast, go from Seattle down to Los Angeles after that Sunday night game. So long week away from home for them. You think that's the rationale behind this line move, or do you think there's something more to it?
No, I think being out on the road with the team for that extra week is a benefit. Can't be, especially if you're a winning team and you're happy to be together with the guys, and they are coming off the loss, and I don't know how many of them thought they were going to go into Seattle and just have their way there, but I don't think they're going to be too down after having that loss. But interesting scheduling situation here is this is only the only home game for the Rams in a four-game schedule. So they played Arizona, then they go to Seattle and Tennessee the next 2 weeks. So this is a game the Rams should have. This is a game that, you know, obviously they've got to be circled to get this game. Philadelphia played at Seattle last week, at the Rams, and then at the Giants, traveling all the way back to the East Coast. So this is the second or three straight on the road, and then they actually played Dallas 2 games ago before playing Chicago. So you got a team in Philadelphia who's been on the road for a while. You got a Rams team with a rare home game after being on the road earlier and now having to be on the road the next couple of weeks. I like to take a look at the schedules to see which game in that somewhere in there for the schedule, to see if it's a home game that they don't get to have very often in that time frame. So they'll try to make the most of it. But yeah, these are two teams, obviously, you want to bet on. I think I believe more in Philadelphia than I do the Rams. Although, you know, this Rams defense, you go back and, you know, they struggle a little bit early on in the season. Game two, they gave up 27 to Washington, 39 to San Francisco, and 30 to Dallas. But since that time, they give up 16, 17, 0, 17, 7, 24, 20, and 16. This has been a solid defense ever since they started playing together early in the season and starting to believe in themselves. And we all know what this Philadelphia defense can do. So it's interesting from a total standpoint. I believe this opened higher. There's still a couple 50s at the places in Vegas here that cater to the general public. But when you're looking at most of the sharper books, we're down to 49 here. And at first glance, you would think this would be a high-scoring game, but money's coming in on the under. And when you analyze it a little bit better and look at the defenses, you can see why.
Well, one of the things I think worth considering here in this spot, and I actually overlooked this in the preview I wrote for this game over at bangthebook.com, so shame on me for that. But these two teams, in a way, played last year because Sean McVay was the offensive coordinator of the Washington Redskins. So he had a chance to game plan for Philadelphia twice last year. Redskins, they obviously were a different offense last year than they are this year. So you kind of keep that in mind with the drop off from McVay to what they have going on this season. But last year against Philadelphia, 493 yards in the first game, just 334 in the second game. So that one was on the road in the second game. They did win both of those games against the Eagles last year. So McVay had a little bit of success in this matchup against Philadelphia. A lot of the same personnel for the Eagles. Obviously, McVay's personnel is different with the Rams. So I don't know if that's necessarily an angle. I've actually tried to play on a couple of those angles this year with, you know, coordinator familiarity and that type of thing, and it just hasn't really worked out for me. But it is something to consider when you're looking at this matchup here. The question that I have about Philadelphia, you know, you mentioned in what you were talking about there that, you know, they had that nice lead in the East, or they had that one-game lead in the NFC. They have the four-game lead in the East. Maybe last week was kind of one of those flat spots for them. Now that Minnesota's tied with them for the top spot, New Orleans and the Rams are just a game back, so, you know, the Rams would have the head-to-head tiebreaker here. If you're Philadelphia, you want to do everything you can to not have to play the wild card weekend. You want that bye week in the playoffs. So this is a game that has significant playoff implications for both teams. So I think we do get a premium effort from both of them, and I like that because even with Philadelphia on the road for such an extended period of time, I think this is a straight handicap where you can just look at strength versus strength, weakness versus weakness, and then come to your conclusion. And for me, I think that, you know, in terms of looking at this game, there are better options out there on the board, but I think you kind of have to take a look at the Eagles here.
You mentioned the Washington coordinator. Washington going into the season had beaten Philadelphia five straight times. Now, I don't know how long he's been there and what happened there, but that's just something other people could take a look at and see if there's any correlation there. But, yeah, you look at Philadelphia. This is their show-me game. You know, like I said, the Seattle game, I don't think they put too much effort into. They play the Rams here, and then they finish the season against the Giants, Oakland, and Dallas. Three teams who are not going to the playoffs. And so they shouldn't have too much of a worry going down the stretch. So they need to get this win against the Rams. Then they could coast a little bit after that. So you're going to get your full effort out of Philadelphia this week. And like I said, the Rams being at home when they've got to go on the road for these other games, this is just a terrific game to watch. And I don't know if I'll be involved in it, but I think it'll be a telling game because you're getting both of the teams' maximum effort going forward in this game. And that's really what we want to look at is two teams, both with that same motivation.
Brian Leonard from WagerTalk.com. What's going on over there right now, Brian?
I've been putting out my second half NFL and college football plays, having a lot of success on that. I've been putting those out on Twitter for free. So if you haven't followed me on Twitter, make sure to do that. And I actually wanted to use my spot for promotion to promote your own people over there, your hockey handicapper. I'm a season ticket holder for the Golden Knights out here, and I don't have enough time to watch every hockey game and with all these other sports going on. Your hockey guy gets in there, and he not only talks about what happened last game, he's talking about all the moves their teams are making, who's playing well, who's playing bad. He saves me so much money in my hockey or so much time in my hockey handicapping. When he comes out to Vegas, I'm going to have to buy him a nice dinner because he's really saved me a lot of time. And you've talked that other people out there have really given him great comments. Put me in on the list because he's done a terrific job. And if you follow hockey at all, if you bet hockey, whether you follow him or not. He's got great information each and every day and up early, which is really important for guys like me who want to get my stuff done early and concentrate on other things as the game goes, as the day goes on. So hats off to the guys you have over there. I know your stuff that you write is terrific. You have great writers over there. You're doing a hell of a job. Everybody's doing a hell of a job over at Bang the Book.
Oh, really appreciate that, and I'm sure Parker Michaels would certainly appreciate that as well. Brian Leonard, you can follow his work on Twitter at BLeonardSports. Thank you so much for your time, man. We really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds great. Everybody have a great week.
Strong stuff there from Brian Leonard, and I love this college football bowl season discussion. I feel like there are so many different ways to go about betting these bowl games. If you want to be a power ratings guy, you can be. If you want to dig into the motivation and some of those other things, you can obviously do that as well. And, you know, it's just one of those situations where, you know, I kind of talked about this a little bit in my power ratings piece. It genuinely feels like we have some edges over the books because the sports books are going to put these numbers up largely based on the power ratings that they have. They're going to let the betting market set that more intangible type of stuff, the motivation, the coaching changes, the things of that sort. They're going to leave that up to the bettors to figure out. They're going to leave that up to the bettors to make those adjustments. So I think that's one of those things that can really be a big benefit to us out there in the college football betting market for the bowl games, is that you have these opportunities to get some of those edges that, you know, maybe wouldn't be there in the past. So, you know, again, you want to make sure that you're looking at the total picture. You want to make sure that you're taking into account all the information that you possibly can that's out there, because there is a lot of it, you know, and one of the things I talk about on this show is that, you know, in a lot of ways I hate Twitter. I mean, for one thing, I waste a lot of time being on Twitter, scanning Twitter, bantering with people on Twitter. But one of the things that Twitter is extremely, extremely good for is getting new beat writers that are out there. Maybe you find out some things about these teams that you didn't really know. Maybe you find out some things about the mindset of these teams. You find out if these teams are fully invested here as they go into their bowl games. So plenty of things for you to keep in mind and consider while you're out there, and see if you can find, you know, some of those opportunities to get those edges over the sports books. And hey, if it's by following beat writers, if it's by using your power ratings, if it's by listening to the guests on this show or listening to the guests on other shows, you have opportunities to do that. And that's what makes this so unique, especially because you have more time to compile what you're looking for. You know, you're able to actually take extra prep time because, like we said, you don't have games until December 16th, one on the 19th, one on the 20th, one on the 21st, two on the 22nd, three on the 23rd, one on the 24th. Then you get some more games, but still, you're talking about days with three, four, five games. You're not talking about days where, you know, you have to handicap a 60-game card or something like that. That's really, really important for you. That's something that can be a big benefit for you to have that extra time to go through and figure out, you know, what spots that in particular you want to focus on. So we're going to have plenty of content like that at bangthebook.com as we go throughout the season here. And then also we'll have plenty of content like that here on Bang the Book Radio as well. So unfortunately here, having a little bit of an issue with Blog Talk Radio as the show's going on, I don't think I can bring Wes Reynolds onto the program because the online switchboard that they have doesn't seem to be working for me. So I do apologize for that. Try to fill in some of the gaps here for the rest of today's show with the things that Wes and I were expected to talk about. And if we do have some further issues here, I will be cutting down the show into segments. And if we wind up getting to a point where the show just winds up recording all the way through its set recording time, you know, obviously there'll be some dead air here at the end of the program, and I do apologize for that. But you know, one of the things that we try to focus on here in the NHL is to look at situational handicapping. And it's nice that, you know, we have that article by me, but then we have the daily NHL picks from Parker Michaels, because what's really nice about that is you have two different ways of handicapping. You have the two different schools of thought, the two different processes. And when it comes to what Parker does, he's got his model. He's got values assigned to every individual player. That's something that's extremely, extremely in-depth, very, very detailed, as Brian was talking about there at the end of his segment. You know, that's something that you can afford to do if you want to specialize in hockey. for me, because I'm trying to cover all the markets out there, try to familiarize myself with everything for the show and just for my own personal handicapping. That's why I use the situational spots as a guide. Try to look for those areas where, you know, maybe we're getting a little bit of potential value on a number simply because the spot is bad for one team or another. So that's a piece you can check out over there at bangthebook.com every day. Got a couple of those games today, Philadelphia and Edmonton, Ottawa and Anaheim, a couple spots that, you know, could wind up being beneficial for you. But what I want to focus on here is the NBA, because Parker's doing great work with the NHL. And in the NBA, you know, I talk about this all the time as well. The situational spots in this league, absolutely phenomenal. They are fantastic to look at. There are so many good opportunities to pick off spots in the association. And you got one tonight here, and we talked about this team a little bit yesterday in the Charlotte Hornets. They've been so good at home. They've been fantastic at home. They get to the line a lot. That's something that's very important for them. You've got a Golden State team here. It's a 5.5-point favorite tonight without Steph Curry. Sprained ankle. He's out for a couple of weeks. This road trip for Golden State, this is their fifth road game in 8 nights. They played in Los Angeles, Orlando, Miami, New Orleans. Now they're playing in Charlotte. They go to Detroit on Friday to take on another team. It's been very, very good on its home floor this season. And this feels like a spot to me where you want to look to back the Charlotte Hornets. You've got this Warriors team on a very, very long road trip without Steph Curry. And this is a Warriors team that, you know, look, they know what's going to happen at the end of the season. They know where they're going to be when the dust settles and everything is all said and done. Is it a problem for them to take a night off? Absolutely not. They've already won the first 4 games here on this road trip. I know the number looks small at 5.5. It looks daunting because, hey, after all, you're looking to fade the Golden State Warriors. But, you know, you've got signs of fatigue possible. You've got the Curry injury. Maybe you look to play Charlotte live if you're a little bit worried about playing the full game. But this is a spot that sets up so well for Charlotte. The Charlotte Hornets and any opponent that the Warriors play without Steph Curry, they don't care that Steph Curry's not playing. It's still a chance to beat the Warriors. Doesn't really matter, you know, that Curry's out. Doesn't really matter if Klay Thompson's out, or if Draymond Green is out, or if Kevin Durant is out. They just want to beat the Warriors. So for the Hornets here, that's what they're looking to do. That's what they want to do. And you know, when you've got very differing levels of motivation, like it appears like we have in this game here, Charlotte for me would totally be the side. I would have to look at the Charlotte Hornets here in this spot. Yeah, they're only catching 5.5, but it's a bad spot for Golden State. And maybe Golden State's just good enough to overcome that, and it wouldn't shock me in the slightest. But I think it's one of those spots where you have a reasonable expectation of how you think the game is going to go, of how you think both teams are going to be emotionally invested in this game. Those are the spots you want to look to capitalize on. Because if we talk about 54-55% being a really good mark for somebody over the season, and that's true, because you have to contend with variance. You could have the best handicap ever. You could play every spot perfect. Your model could say, you know, wager 2% of your bankroll on this game. Everything could line up for you. That game may still be a loser. Have this additional information at your disposal. You have a situational spot like this. To me, I think you have to play it. I think you have to live with the idea that you might be wrong, that a team like Golden State just might be good enough to overcome that situational spot, to overcome the loss of a guy like Curry. So for me, I'm looking to play Charlotte here in this spot. But again, you know, you're talking about going in front of a really, really good basketball team in the Golden State Warriors. How about this game here? Minnesota takes on the Los Angeles Clippers tonight. We got a big NBA card. Game previews up for every game over at bangthebook.com. Minnesota's a 5.5 or a 6-point favorite here on the road in this spot. And to me, I think this is one of the best spots of the week to take a dog, a home dog at that, in the Los Angeles Clippers. Yes, the Clippers miss Chris Paul. Yes, the Clippers miss Blake Griffin. But this spot about as good as it gets here for the Clippers. So Minnesota on a 2-game road trip. They played in Memphis and then flew cross-country to Los Angeles. They've got a couple days off here before this game, 3 days off after this game. You're in Hollywood, the club scene, the bar scene. We talked about this a little bit with Philip Rosenreich yesterday, where there are some places that are just better home court advantages because of what's available outside of the arena. And to me, I think this is one of those spots. You've got this Minnesota team that, They beat the Clippers by 6 the other day. Now, the Clippers did cover the number and actually looked pretty good in that game overall. But still, Minnesota just beat the Clippers. The Clippers are not a good basketball team. So Minnesota walks into this game saying, well, we just beat these guys. We can go ahead and beat them again. Well, you know, maybe they go out and party too much. Maybe they go out and don't treat this as a business trip. And I can't blame them for that. They are still a very young team. You know, and it's been a challenging transition for them to learn how to operate under Tom Thibodeau, to learn how to play defense. You got a leader there now in Jimmy Butler, a guy that knows Thibodeau really well. So maybe that's something that has kind of been a really good component for them. But in this particular spot, man, it's Clippers or nothing for me. It is absolutely Clippers or nothing for me. And in fact, actually, as we're looking here out on the odd screen, Charlotte getting hit pretty hard right now. I don't know if there's another injury announcement for Golden State or something like that. But, you know, again, you try to find these situations where you get an edge. And sometimes that edge is going to be on a bad team, like it is here with the Clippers in this spot. And I still feel like the Clippers are that type of team where if you get those situational betting opportunities, if you get those chances to back a team like that and maybe steal one with a little bit of line value, then you do it. And that's what you want to look for in the NBA on a regular basis, is to try to find those outliers where you get those situational spots just line up so nicely that you can look to take advantage of those. So I'm going to go ahead and cut this show a little bit short here for today. I don't even know if I'm actually being heard live over the radio because Blog Talk Radio doing its usual thing. I will say this. I'm staring at some new equipment here, some new equipment for recording the show, better sound quality. Don't have to deal with all the Blog Talk Radio bullshit, which just frustrates me every single time we have issues like this. So hoping to get some time to play around with this stuff over the weekend, still waiting on some of the cables I need and all that type of stuff. But we should be able to bring you better audio quality and also not have these Blog Talk Radio problems in the very near future. So I'm staring right here at it right now. Looks a little bit daunting, to be completely honest with you, but it was time for an upgrade. It was beyond time for an upgrade, and I do apologize for that. But, you know, I think that we're looking for ways to improve the show. We're going to go out and see if we can get some different guests here. You know, now that we're transitioning away from football, some of our guests are very, very strong in the football realm. Some of our segments are only football, like the Super Contest segment and the segment with Brent from DSI Sportsbook. So we're going to need to hear some different voices on the show. So we're going to be looking for some new guests to join us and also looking to upgrade the audio quality of the show. So those are two things for our listeners to look forward to here. And it's especially relevant here on a day like today with the frustrations from me having to worry about the refrigerator and moving around the couple hundred dollars worth of groceries we just bought. And then, of course, the problems here with Blog Talk Radio. So, again, you know, I appreciate everybody's patience with the issues that we have been having lately. I appreciate everybody's patience in joining us each and every week, even though, you know, maybe the sound quality isn't the best that you're going to hear out there. But I promise we are working to upgrade these things, and that is something that I look to bring you here in the very near future. Coming up on our Thursday edition of Bang the Book Radio, which will hopefully go off without a hitch, Brad Powers from BradPowersSports.com joins us, and also Ralph Michaels from WagerTalk.com. We'll talk more college football and the bowl season, and then also hit on college basketball with Ralph and talk about some of the situational and technical types of plays that he's looking for and things of that sort. But that'll do it for me. Thank you so much for listening, everybody, and I will talk to you again tomorrow.